Well, good morning to everyone. So good to be here, as always, worshiping God with you. So happy that you are here this morning, and especially happy if you're visiting with us. We hope that you have been encouraged and will continue to be encouraged, and that you'll find that everything that we do is from the text of Scripture, our classes, our sermons. We want to honor God by honoring His Word and all that we do. If you have any questions about what you see here, what you hear here, we ask that you'd come and talk to us about that. We'd love to study God's Word with you. I want to get into the text of Scripture in Exodus 7 this morning. If you open your Bibles to Exodus 7 is where we will begin. As we call our lesson, do not harden your hearts. Here in Exodus 7, God sends Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh to warn him one last time before the plagues begin. Start in verse 13. Yet Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is stubborn, and he refuses to let the people go. From the start of the plagues, all the way to the crossing of the Red Sea, this phrase, Pharaoh hardened his heart, is repeated 15 times. Sometimes it's worded, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and we'll talk about that later. But all throughout this narrative, Pharaoh is stubborn and rebellious, to the point where his heart is like stone, immovable, unchanging, unfeeling toward God, toward his people, and toward God's purposes. You know, last Wednesday night, Adam showed us pictures of how the Israelites would make bricks for the buildings they were forced to make. They would take clay and straw and water and mix it all up until it became mud, and then they'd set it out in the sun. And the longer the sun baked all the moisture out of the mud, the harder the brick became. But the truth is, the Israelites weren't the only ones making bricks in Exodus. Their God was making a brick out of Pharaoh's heart. The longer the sun of God's authority baked and beat down upon Pharaoh, the harder Pharaoh's heart became. This morning, I want us to see what a hardened heart looks like, so we can avoid that kind of heart at all costs. From Pharaoh, we'll learn four characteristics of a hard heart. And scripturally, you don't need all four of these to have a hard heart. You can have any one of these character non-qualities and still have a hard heart. The sad thing is, Pharaoh had them all. First of all, a hard heart is heedless to God. To heed means to listen with concern. If you look back in Exodus chapter 3, we see this word heed used, but in a different context. In Exodus 3 and verse 7, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. See, God not only heard their cry, he listened with concern. He heeded their cry. In contrast, turn to Exodus 5, please. Exodus 5, and listen to this first conversation with Pharaoh. Afterwards, Exodus 5:1, afterwards Moses and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh, Thus says Yahweh, the God of Israel, Let my people go, that they may celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness. But Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and besides, I will not let Israel go. Then they said, The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Otherwise he will fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. But the king of Egypt said to him, Moses and Aaron, why do you draw the people away from their work? Get back to your labors. And again Pharaoh said, Look, the people of the land are now many, and you would have them cease from their labors. See, Pharaoh heard the command of God through Moses, but he did not heed that command. He did not listen with any ounce of concern. And also notice he heard the complaint of the Israelites, just like God heard the complaint of the Israelites, except God actually heeded their cry, and Pharaoh did not heed the cry of the Israelites either. That's why almost every time the phrase, and Pharaoh hardened his heart, is found, there's another phrase found with it. Back in chapter 7 where we started in verse 13, Yet Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them, as the Lord had said. You know, maybe someone's thinking earlier, why does the Bible say God was the one hardening Pharaoh's heart? You know, how is it fair that while the Israelites are making bricks for their buildings, God is over here making a brick out of Pharaoh's heart? Why would he do that? Think about this. When clay is left out in the sun bakes and hardens the clay. But what would happen if you put butter out in the sun? Well, it wouldn't harden, that's for sure. It would melt into a puddle. You see, the same sun that hardens clay melts butter. God hardened Pharaoh's heart because of the kind of material Pharaoh's heart was made of. He had a heart of clay, which when it came into contact with God's will, became a brick. You see, it's not like Pharaoh was this great person, and he would have served the Lord. It's just that God stopped him from serving him and made sure that Pharaoh had no choice but to not serve him. No. Specifically, the way God hardened his heart was by asking Pharaoh to obey him. And Pharaoh did not want to do that. He did not want to let a million slaves go away for a whole week. You know, 3 days journey and then maybe 3 days back. Going to let a million slaves go for a whole week would be a huge loss economically. More importantly, as we said in our class, Pharaoh believed himself to be a god, so there was no way in his pride he was going to submit to some foreign god that he had never heard of. Remember, he says, "Who is Yahweh?" But I find it interesting in that passage, that same text in Exodus 5:2, he basically says, "Even if I knew who Yahweh was, I still wouldn't listen to him." Pharaoh was heedless to God. He didn't listen. He didn't want to listen. And he didn't believe listening to God really mattered anyway. How about you this morning? How do you react when God asks for your obedience? When God asks us to do something difficult, to accept the truth about something that is hard to hear, or to let go of something precious that we have become overly attached to, what happens to our heart and attitude? Do we say, "There's no way I'm doing that"? Or do we say, "Not my will, but your will be done, oh God"? If we give little to no heed to God or His Word, our hearts are hard like Pharaoh's. Secondly, a hard heart is apathetic to the damage that we're causing. To be apathetic means to not care. And when we have hard hearts, we give little thought or care to what our rebellious hearts are doing to those around us. Pharaoh's stubborn refusal to heed God hurt everyone in Egypt. Every time Pharaoh hardened his heart, God sent another plague on the Egyptians. He started with the Nile, turned the Nile to blood, and all the fish died, and the whole of Egypt gave off a horrible stench throughout the land. And then the frogs came, these slimy little creatures all inside their homes and their kitchens and their beds and their closets and all that stuff. And then the gnats, or maybe they're like mosquitoes, we're not sure exactly, they're biting insects. And of course that was back before they had off spray. And then flies, some sort of stinging insect, then pestilence, which killed their livestock, then boils, their sores just broke out all over the people like Job, then hail, which destroyed more livestock and more crops and even killed people. Then right when God is about to send locusts to destroy the rest of their crops, listen to what Pharaoh's servants said to him in Exodus 10, verse 7. Exodus 10, verse 7. Pharaoh's servants said to him, "How long will this man," that's Moses, "be a snare to us? Let the men go that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not realize that Egypt is destroyed?" When we harden our hearts against God and give no heed to Him, we are often under the illusion that our behavior is only affecting me. And we are so wrong. about that. It affects our parents, our spouses, our children, our friends, our family, our brothers and sisters in Christ. I know of a man right now who is an alcoholic. And I have talked to him, tried to talk to him so many times about the gospel message. Told him what God has done for him in Christ and how God wants him to be set free from this so many times, and yet he is heedless to that message. And as disturbing as it is that he is heedless to God, he also has a son that he is supposed to be raising. And this son has come to me many times to tell me how angry he is at his father, how much he hates that his father has this addiction, and how he cannot wait to get as far away from his father as possible. And on top of all that, he also expresses his tremendous guilt for feeling that way. When I tried to talk to this man about what his alcoholism was doing to his son, he thought it was the craziest thing he had ever heard. He got angry at me for daring to question his parenting skills, because he was so oblivious to the damage that he was causing to his own child. He genuinely believes it's only affecting him, and he doesn't realize that Egypt is being destroyed. The longer we fight against God and harden our hearts against Him and His purposes, the more damage is done to our souls and to the souls of those around us. And beyond the soul, we may also be causing physical, emotional, and psychological damage to those around us as well. That's true for non-Christians and Christians alike. And let me say this to Christians. When Christians decide to continue living in sin and rebelling against the Lord, that is not a private matter. That's hurting other people in the church, whether we realize it or not. Yet when our hearts are hard, it's hard to care about anyone but ourselves. Thirdly, refusing to change. With Pharaoh, you know, sometimes it looked like there was some hope. Sometimes it looked like he was on the verge of changing, on the verge of repentance. For instance, after the servants there in Exodus 10 came to him and said, look, don't you realize what's happening in Egypt? Listen to what Pharaoh says in verse 8. So Moses and Aaron, Exodus 10, 8. So Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh, and he said to them, go, serve the Lord your God. But who are the ones that are going? So it looks like he's about to let the people go, but then instead he asks, well, tell me, who exactly is planning to go on this trip again? It turns out Pharaoh was still trying to negotiate with God and to work out some terms that were more agreeable to him. And after God sends the locusts in this chapter, here's another example of something that looks really hopeful in Pharaoh's life. Look in the same chapter, chapter 10, drop down to verse 16. Then Pharaoh hurriedly called for Moses and Aaron. He said, I have sinned against Yahweh your God and against you. Now therefore, please forgive my sin only this once and make supplication to the Lord your God that he would only remove this death from me. So again, it seems like Pharaoh repents. He finally realizes, I'm a sinful man. I need the forgiveness of Yahweh. But it's all very short-lived, because you drop down to verse 20 and it says, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart and he did not let the sons of Israel go. Again, it's not like Pharaoh was willing to change. And he was really going to come back to God, but then God hardened his heart and made it impossible for him to. That's not what's going on. The point is, Pharaoh's repentance was not genuine. He was basically just saying whatever he needed to say to get those plagues to stop. He didn't really care that he sinned against Yahweh, the one true God. He was just tired of dealing with all the earthly consequences of the death that these plagues were bringing upon him. In fact, that's ultimately the only reason Pharaoh finally let the people go. I'm just so tired of dealing with all these plagues. Just get out. But even that was short-lived. Look back in Exodus, or look forward in Exodus 14. Exodus 14, verses 5 and 6. This is after he had let the people go. verses 5 and 6, when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his servants had a change of heart. Here's the only change of heart that Pharaoh had. Change of heart toward the people. And they said, what is this we have done, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made his chariot ready and took his people with him, and they took 600 select chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. So after all the plagues had stopped, all these earthly consequences had stopped for Pharaoh, then he decides, well, we made a big mistake. We need to go get them back, chase these Israelites down. When we have hard hearts, we refuse to change, but we like to do and to say whatever we can to make sure life is still going smoothly for us. So it may be that we've damaged someone by our behavior, but instead of actually taking steps to change the behavior, we just apologize profusely. No, I'm so sorry. I'll never do it again. I'll never say that again. I'll never go to that place again. And we're not really sincere. We're just trying to get this person back on our side. And then as soon as everything's kind of smoothed over and everybody's back on our side again, well, we go right back to doing whatever we want to do, and the cycle starts all over again, like it did for Pharaoh. In the New Testament, Paul draws a distinction in 2 Corinthians 7 between worldly sorrow and godly sorrow. Worldly sorrow is when we are sorrowful for the earthly consequences that we're facing. Godly sorrow says, I'm sorry because I've actually sinned against the Lord. Pharaoh only had worldly sorrow. He just wanted all of this death and destruction around him to stop. That's all he really cared about. And when we have hardened hearts like Pharaoh, that's typically all we will feel as well, is worldly sorrow. And Paul says worldly sorrow leads to death. And fourth and finally, deaf and blind to the obvious. Because Pharaoh's heart was hardened, he couldn't see things that everyone else around him could see. Back in Exodus chapter 8, when God sent the gnats, the magicians were not able to duplicate those things like they were with the earlier ones. And so listen to what the magicians say in Exodus 8, verse 18. The magicians tried with their secret arts to bring forth gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them, as the Lord had said. The magicians saw exactly what was going on here. They knew this was an act of someone far more powerful than they were, but Pharaoh didn't see it because of his hard heart. He chose not to see it. Exodus chapter 9. Would you turn there into Exodus 9? Drop down to verse 20. Because by the time God gets to the sixth plague, everybody in Egypt knows the drill. When Yahweh says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. And so listen to what happens when he sends the plague of hail. Begin in verse 20. The one among the servants of Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord made his servants and his livestock flee into the houses. But he who paid no regard to the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. Everybody else knew, look, God is the real deal. We need to take our stuff and our animals and put them inside, because he's about to send hail. But there were people still, and I imagine Pharaoh was one of them, that did not heed this, because he was deaf and blind to the obvious that God is powerful and he is faithful to his word, and he will take action when he says he'll take action. And perhaps the greatest example of Pharaoh's deafness and blindness to the obvious is what we just read about in Exodus 14, where Pharaoh decides, we made a mistake, we need to go chase these Israelites down and bring them back. What was he thinking? You really think, oh boy, once I catch these Israelites and bring them back, surely Yahweh's just going to give up. He's going to say, you can keep them. Didn't know, Pharaoh, you wanted them that bad. You can have them. No. He was so foolish in his hardened heart, so deaf and blind to the obvious fact that Yahweh is the Creator. His name is to be honored and feared above all others. Everybody else in Egypt seemed to grasp that concept at the end of the plagues, not Pharaoh. When we have hard hearts, we're often deaf when people around us try to tell us we have a problem, or when God in His Word tries to tell us that we have a problem. But then we just close our ears and act like everything is fine and everyone is just overreacting, and we're in complete denial that we have a hard heart in the first place. We're blind because we often don't even see that our way is not working. And that we are hurting everyone in our path, including ourselves. And that our hearts are unfeeling and we have very little love or compassion for God or His people and we're just going through the motions. Others can see it, but we can't because our hearts are hard and we're deaf and blind to the obvious. You know, Jesus actually gives us the reason why He spoke in parables. And He said, basically, it's to weed out those who have hard hearts versus those who have soft hearts. And He says this in Matthew 13. Therefore, I speak to them in parables because while seeing, they do not see. And while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and return, and I would heal them. Here's something shocking. In the Bible, God warns us not to harden our hearts. But He never once warns us not to harden our hearts like Pharaoh. Now, I think it's obvious we need to not harden our hearts like Pharaoh. That's why we're studying that this morning. But the Bible never specifically warns us not to be like Pharaoh. Instead, God warns us, do not harden your hearts like my people did when they came up out of Egypt. In fact, that quote we just read from Matthew 13 that Jesus quoted was from Isaiah 6. And that was not describing Pharaoh. That was describing God's own people. And then God specifically says not to harden our hearts like His people in Psalm 95. And then that psalm is quoted in Hebrews 3, where I'd like us to turn Hebrews chapter 3. We'll spend the rest of our lesson here in this third chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3, begin reading with me in verse 7 down to 13. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, and here He's quoting Psalm 95, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart and they did not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. It may be tempting for us to think, you know, all that heart hardening stuff, that makes sense with Pharaoh. He thought he was a god. He was one of the most powerful men on the planet. He had a million slaves. I could see why he'd harden his heart against God, but I can't really relate to that. But God says the real tragedy of the Exodus is that His own people hardened their hearts against Him. And the Hebrew writer says that's still a danger today. Even though we are Christians and we have been saved by Jesus Christ, we can still develop an evil, unbelieving heart that becomes hardened and falls away from the Lord. It happened to the Israelites not long after God saved them from Egypt. The incident in Psalm 95 refers back to the attitude of the Israelites in Exodus 17, where they complained about a lack of water and they said, well, what, did God just bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Basically, is God among us or not? And it became a pattern for them, until eventually they were punished and had to wander 40 years in the wilderness. Think about the Israelites' hard heart. They didn't heed God when He promised to take care of them. They were apathetic to the way that their lack of faith was affecting their brethren and eventually causing death in the camp. They refused to change and trust God, and they were deaf and blind to the obvious. The obvious being, if God just saved you from Egypt, why would He let you just starve to death on the way to the promised land? It's absurd. And if we're not careful, we can be guilty of the same hardness in our own lives as God's people today. So what is the solution? How do we keep from developing a hard heart? Or if we already have a hardened heart this morning, how do we change our hearts from hard to soft? Well, Hebrews 3, I'll admit, was not really written to answer that question. But in this text, we certainly find some clues to that answer. So we'll park here for these final 4 points this morning. First of all, surrender to your Creator. In Exodus chapter 10, I'll just have this on the screen so we can stay in Hebrews 3. But in Exodus 10 verse 3, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me." The first step is to realize that you are the creature and God is the creator, not the other way around. That means He has the authority to demand our obedience, to direct our lives, and He does that as our loving Father for our own good. And the longer we refuse to bow our knee and humble ourselves before Him, the worse things will get for us spiritually and probably physically even on this earth. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. "We have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end, while it is said, 'Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me.'" When He says, hear God's voice, He doesn't mean just audibly hear it. He means to heed God's voice, to listen with humble concern because He is our Creator and He is our Savior. To really hear God's voice in His Word, though, we're going to have to humble ourselves. We're going to have to surrender. You know, when I say surrender, that's kind of overused today in kind of an ethereal sense. Just, you know, surrender, let go, let God. I mean literally surrender, as in stop fighting against God. Because you're not going to win that. Surrender, give up, and give your heart to the Lord. Beg Him for forgiveness. Ask Him to shape and to mold our hearts. Cry out to Him, "Not my will anymore, but your will be done, O God." And start reading the Bible vigorously to allow the power of the Holy Spirit in the sword of the Spirit to pierce and to penetrate that thick dragon scale armor we've developed over our hardened hearts. Secondly, open your eyes to the damage. Hebrews 3, verse 17. "With whom was He angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness?" Whose bodies are falling around you? Who has our stubbornness hurt? Who has our rebellious attitude rubbed off on? Who is filled with bitterness and resentment toward us because of our refusal to change and or our apathy toward how we're affecting and hurting other people? It is time to take inventory and realize our sinful hardened heart is not only affecting me, but it's affecting the people around me I claim to love. Thirdly, face the truth about where you're heading. Hebrews 3, verse 18, "And to whom did He swear that they would not enter His rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief." People with hardened hearts will never enter God's eternal rest. It wasn't just Pharaoh who was lost eternally. It was God's own people who missed heaven because of the hardness of their hearts. And part of our refusal to change is a refusal to be honest about where our current trajectory is taking us. We're deaf and blind to the obvious. And when we live with hardened hearts, it's obvious we're not going to be with God and God is not going to be with us. We need to face that truth. And fourth, and finally, we need to thank God that He has given you today. Hebrews 4, verse 6 and 7, "Therefore, since it remains for some to enter that rest, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, He again fixes a certain day today, saying through David, 'After so long a time, just as it has been said before, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts.'" I realize this sermon has been pretty depressing up to this point because a hardened heart against God is depressing and it is tragic. Yet there is light At the end of this dark tunnel, there is hope because God in His mercy and His grace has sent Jesus to die on a cross so that you and I could be given today. Despite the hardness of our heart, and maybe the length of time our heart has been hardened and we've been rebelling against God, God has allowed us to remain and He has provided us a way to be saved. He could have killed us long ago. But because He wants those with hard hearts to change and to develop these soft hearts that follow Him, He has given us time. He has given us today. He's not given us tomorrow, though. He's given us today, right now, to make the change, to soften our hardened hearts, to have hearts of butter, not clay. Today is all we have. But today is all we need to make that change. Would you take out your songbooks, please? I want to read one verse to you. It's on your outline. It's a promise that God made His people back in the Old Testament. We talked about this a couple months ago. We talked about the Holy Spirit and His promise to recreate our hearts. But notice what He says at the end of that verse. Ezekiel 36, 26. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. In other words, I will remove the heart of clay and give you a heart of butter. But I want you to know that's only possible by God's power. I appreciated so much what Brother Larry said in his opening prayer that there's really nothing we can do on our own to save ourselves. There's nothing we can do on our own to soften our hearts. God has provided us the way to do that by sending Jesus to die on a cross to show us an unfathomable depth of love that should melt anyone's heart with a conscience. Will you allow that sacrifice to melt your heart today and come to Him with full faith that Jesus is your Lord and Master, that He died to save you, that you're willing to repent of all of your sins, to confess Him as Lord and be baptized today for the forgiveness of your sins? God has given you breath today. Today is the day of salvation. If you've already done that and you're a Christian and you've wandered off, won't you soften your heart today to God and His Word? Give heed to Him once again. We're here to encourage and to help you and to pray with you and for you to do whatever you need to do to make your heart right with God. Will you come forward and let us know how we can help you while we stand and sing for your encouragement?